Today, we're going to consider the parable of the three friends, and the message is Jesus teaching about your friends. Jesus teaching about your friends. We'll see as we read Luke 11, starting at verse 5. The second time he's taught them the Lord's Prayer, the prayer the Lord taught them to pray. And in that prayer, one of the petitions is, give us this day our daily bread. And then in verse 5, we're going to read about someone else who was in need of daily bread. So let me read starting at verse 5 through verse 13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness, he will arise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And of which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone, or a fish, and he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the word of God that you sent down from heaven. Indeed, even those who went to arrest him when they heard him speak said, never man spake like this man. And yet our Father, in all the words that he spake, let us know that they are ever so simple, the words that he spake. He can tell us of heavenly things. He can tell us of earthly things. And yet, our Father, the earthly things he tells us about, they are so simple, so plain. And yet, these words are as much thy words, Father, as the words that he tells us about heaven and things to come. And let us know that we have a need to understand the significance of this parable which we've read this morning. We pray, our God, that by thy Spirit we shall be enabled to understand, that our hearts shall understand ourselves and friends and the realities of life, and that seeing these things spoken by thy Son, we shall look at ourselves and see what kind of friend we are. So empower him who speaks, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. For 4 weeks now, I've been telling you about friends. All sorts of friends. The first week, it wasn't Jesus at all talking about friends, but it was people talking about Jesus' friends. Some people looked at him, saw the ones that he associated with, and they said concerning Jesus, he is a friend of publicans and sinners. And even though men said it about him, it's true. But the other times I told you about friends, and Jesus himself spoke of these friends, not others saying concerning Jesus who his friends were, but Jesus talking about his friends and talking about your friends. Listen to what he says in John 15. He said, you are my friends. So he says, I have friends. And he speaks of certain people as his friends. And then, in John chapter 11, he spoke about Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth. And so he spoke about our friends. He spoke about his friends, and then his friends, who were also your friends. But today, he is not talking about his friends at all. He's talking about your friends. Because he said, which of you shall have a friend? And among these three of whom Jesus speaks, we are not there at all as friends of Jesus. But this is Jesus stepping back and examining the friendship among sinful men. And then he starts commenting on them. Which of you shall have a friend? So today he's talking about your friends and my friends. Sinner friends. And he doesn't mention himself in the parable. It's not the parable about the friend at midnight. It's the parable about three friends. And what is so remarkable, when I was reading this parable, I was forcibly struck by the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that Jesus is man. He's God manifest in the flesh, but he is man. Because who but a man, and this is the marvel, who but a man would talk about somebody that goes and knocks on a door at midnight and tells about a father and his children being with him in bed? Who would ever think that these were words spoken by the Son of God that came from heaven? But they are. And I said, there's no doubt that Jesus is a man, and that Jesus had experienced such things in his own life. So often he gives parables, and we ask ourselves, how did he ever think of that? He probably observed it in life. Because he always had his eye open. You remember when he was in the temple and people were putting money in the temple, Jesus was sitting there watching them. And when that poor widow came and cast in her two mites, he spoke about that widow. He knew about that. He spoke about other people that came with long robes and blew a trumpet when they gave money, stood in special places when they prayed. These are things that Jesus, as a man among men, had learned from personal observation. And it may very well have been that somebody came to his house when he was a little boy, when he was a young boy, before at the age of 30 he went into the public ministry, and something like that happened to him. But in this parable, in his humanity, our Savior enters into it. But he presents so much, so brilliantly, in so brief a span of words, that it's a marvel. I told you that the three friends, listen, which of you shall have a friend come to him at midnight? So here is a friend that comes to a friend at midnight. And then you to whom that friend came, you go to your friend at midnight. And so there are three friends. Not one, not two, but three friends. And These three friends are easily described. One of them is a friend in need. The other one is a friend in word. And thank God, one of them is a friend in deed. Now figure them out. The man that comes and he has no place to stay and he has nothing to eat, that's a friend in need. And then this man that's in the house sleeping in bed with his children, and somebody's knocking on the door asking for something, and he says, go away, go away. He is a friend in word. But the man who is willing to inconvenience himself for the friend that came to spend the night with him and go and try to find something to eat for him in the middle of the night, that is a friend indeed. Now, which one are you? There are so many that we call our friends, but you find out whether they're truly your friends when a crisis like this arises, when something unexpected occurs, and then you inconvenience them. You find out whether they are a friend in word or whether they are a friend in deed. And what is so sad is that Jesus sees this all. He knows about times in life when you find yourself without a place to stay, but thank God, in this town, you have a friend and you can go and say, I'm here and I want to spend the night with you. Thank God there are friends that throw open their doors and let you come in. And it's another good thing among those that you know to have friends that always have enough and to spare. Now, there are some homes that I would never think of going to and asking for anything to eat in the middle of the night, because I would expect them to come to my house and ask. You wouldn't think of them. But there are some of my friends that I have, and I know that if I went to their home, their house is well organized, they have abundance of provision, and I would say to myself, that is the house that I can go to get something to eat for my friend. And then, alas, there are also some who are well-to-do, have security, have abundance, and even though we go by the name of friend, alas, I know their limitations, and I know that quite often they're just a friend in word. Others would open-heartedly do anything you ask them to do. Others are just as friendly as can be until some emergency arises like this, and you ask them a reasonable request, and you can get it from them, but only under duress. Only if you seek it shamelessly. And this is what the word means. When it says, yet because of his importunity, the word literally is shamelessness. There are some people who will say anything, who will do anything in the presence of multitude. But there are others who would want to do it, but understanding the effect it would have on people, that they would turn and look at you, that they would speak against you, that they would say, such impropriety, you would never do such a thing. And so many of us go through life not getting things that we want and need because we lack this shamelessness that the Lord Jesus speaks about and commends in one way. And what happens is this. You say, this shameless friend, do you know what brought out his shamelessness? The fact that the friend that he's asking for food was a friend in word, but not a friend indeed. He would never have gotten that food unless he shamelessly kept pounding on the door and asking and refused to go away empty-handed. The Savior only speaks about one request. But now listen. The parable is so brief And yet I know that he kept knocking at the door. Because when he speaks to him at first, he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And from within he says, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. That's all he said. And so, if that were the end of the matter, then this friend, brokenhearted, would go away and return home and say to his friend that was in need, I tried, but I was unable to get you something. But the Savior lets us know that even though he got that answer the first time, that he kept pounding on that door and saying, I must have 3 loaves of bread. My friend cannot be sent to bed hungry. I must have that bread. I've told you that I cannot get up and come to the door, but I must. And he kept pounding on that door, pounding shamelessly. And then the Savior exposes this friend in word. And I want you to take it to heart. Because the Savior puts the words in his mouth of this friend in word. The friend in word said, I cannot rise and give thee. And the Savior said, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet, because of his shamelessness, he will rise and give him everything that he wants. But that's enough to break my heart for this reason. To think that the love that we have for one another, and I told you that this word friend, philos, is the word for love, a kiss, a show of affection, and we're to have a warmth, a friendliness, and affection for one another that of itself will cause us to supply the needs of those that are our friends. But the Savior exposes this friend in word who said, I cannot rise and give thee. He says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. The friendship was not enough to get him to get up, open the door, and give him 3 loaves of bread. So that's not much of a friendship, is it? But there are some people that you know, and when you explain a situation like this and you tell it to another person, then that person would say, well, how many times did you have to ask before you got it? I had to ask 5 times. He said, well, that is quite a lot. Usually, I just have to ask 2 or 3 times. So some people know that when they go to ask for something, they're not going to get it. And the only reason they can go and ask is because there is a semblance of friendship there. But they know the disposition of that individual, and if they prod them enough, they will come through with the thing that they're seeking. Now, isn't that sad? Am I talking about you? I've been put to the test in this respect, and so I know my own heart. I've had people to come to my home at midnight, and I know the reaction. And I will tell you these things, some of them, because they are so interesting. And perhaps 20 or 30 years ago, when I was living out on the Raleigh Highway, I was comfortable in bed, and about midnight, I was waked from a sound sleep by somebody pounding on the door. And I went to the door and looked out, and it was someone that came to the meeting back then. And I said, what are you doing here in the middle of the night? And he said, Brother Mills, I've come to give you some money. I said, come in, come in. Do you see? But I assure you, if he had said, well, I was hungry and I was in your vicinity and I've come to ask you to give me something to eat now because I'm hungry, I'm sure that I would not have said, come in, come in. I may have said, wait here and I'll make you a sandwich, but I want to get back to bed. You see the different reaction that we have? How sad. I saw it was an emergency, but here was someone in the middle of the night, and he came to bring me something. But if a friend in the middle of the night comes to get something, I could have had all sorts of lectures to give him. Couldn't this have waited until the morning? Couldn't you have gotten here earlier? But this man, who is a friend indeed, is within his rights in going to his friend at midnight, because this man was on a journey, and at times, things happened. Perhaps if he were walking, he became fatigued, because his animal, if he had a beast of burden, he had to have it shod. No telling what the reason was. But he came, and it was at midnight, and because of that, his friend had to go and request food at midnight. And so that's the way I felt. That's a shameful thing, because I should not have felt that way. If one of you comes to my home in the middle of the night, and I see you first, I should say, is there an emergency? And if you say, no, there are other reasons, then I should smile and say, come in. But I'm afraid that I would be wondering, why did this person have to wake me up in the middle of the night? But there are some who are not that way. There are some who will welcome you in the middle of the night and ask no questions. Now, I want to tell you about another experience I had some 50 years ago. When I was studying in Canada, an old friend of mine, who's with the Lord now, Mark Levengood, and I, before I was married, we took two young ladies out to hear the Toronto Symphony or the Detroit Symphony, some other symphony that was performing in Toronto. And after that, we went out and had some refreshment. And then the ladies went home some way, and then we went to our homes. And when I got home, I reached in my pocket to get the key to my apartment, and it wasn't there. Now, if you had known my landlady, you would understand why I did not knock on that door at midnight. And so I started roaming the streets trying to find a hotel, but we were in a certain section of town, and there were no hotels. And so finally, I remembered my friend Mark that had gone to the concert with me, and I had to walk ever so great a distance down the road. And so finally I came to his house. I'd never been there before. And as I recall it, I knocked on the door, and another friend that went to school with us, his name was Jack LaBeouf, he came to the door and he said, what? I said, where is Mark Levengood? I've come to see Mark. He said, upstairs in the room on the right. And then he let me in and closed the door and went off in a huff. And so I went up into the room and turned on the light and looked over, and Mark was sleeping in bed. And I went over and shook him. I said, Mark, I said, I've been roaming the streets. I've left my key in the apartment and I can't get in, and I have nowhere to stay. I said, may I stay with you? And he started laughing and slid over in his bed, and he said, crawl in. And so that was the experience I had when I went to a friend at midnight, and I never forgot it. And one more I want to tell you this about. Another one that I went to school with, and back in those days, money was so short that I would hitchhike back and forth to Canada. And when I was in a big city, I only had $1, but a friend of mine there that went to school with me was close by, and so I telephoned him. And I simply said this. I did not have the shamelessness to ask, but I said, friend, I said, I have $1. Can you tell me any place in town where I can get a room for $1? And in brief, he said, no, and hung up the phone. And so that was the reception I had with that friend. Now, who was a friend in word, and who was a friend indeed? And so you say, that is elementary. Anybody can tell who was the true friend. And so I'm asking you, and I may try it sometime. I may come to your house at midnight and knock. And I will not see what you will do, but I will see your attitude when you do it. Is that not a sad thing that the Lord Jesus said, which of you shall have a friend? And so it means that there are three kinds of friends. And we're either friends in deed, or we're friends in word, or some people, most of the time, they seem to be friends in need. They're always in need. And to find out what kind of friend we are, it's how you feel in your heart toward that friend that is in need. And also, if you have abundance, it's how you feel toward this man that comes to help a friend that's in need. And you think it through, and you will discover that you're not so much like the Lord Jesus Christ after all. Now, our Savior said, "You are my friends." I want to bring two illustrations to your attention from his life. Notice that here we have people that are hungry and food is necessary. And also, where the man goes to get the food, we see the heart condition of the man that gives the food. First of all, our Savior in Mark chapter 8 has 4,000 that had been with him for 3 days. And he calls his disciples and he says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat and I want to feed them." Isn't that beautiful? Nobody asked him for anything, but his heart went out to them because they were hungry. And without being asked, the Lord Jesus Christ fed them to the full. Now, that is his compassion and his generosity and his willingness to meet those that are in need. The other is this. There is a centurion who has a servant that is sick. And the centurion beseeches him for his sick servant. And the Lord Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Notice, the Savior did not say, "I'll wait here, you get, go get him and bring him." But he said, "I will come and heal him." You see, this man that's in bed is not willing to get out of bed. But the Lord Jesus said, "I'm ready to come and meet your need wherever this sick servant is." And so that's the difference between Jesus, who says, "I am your friend, you are my friend," because when we go to the Lord Jesus, we know what his attitude is going to be, and we know that the Lord Jesus always has the ability, he has the provision to meet our needs. Keep that in mind. And also, think of this man that is a friend indeed, because if friends did come, I think that I would say to them, "Can you do without food so early in the morning? I'll give you an early breakfast." But there are some that are so considerate of others, they would not think of sending them after a weary journey to bed without giving them something to eat, and neither would the Lord Jesus. And so here is this friend indeed, and he's willing to suffer humiliation and rejection. And remember, he had to get up out of bed, and he had to suffer all of these things and then go and pound on the door of his friend to try to get something to eat for this friend of his that came to him from the journey. And so in this brief parable, our Savior exposes the human heart, but thank God there are some who are willing to go and get things for others who are in need. Now, that's the kind of friend I hope that I am and that you are. I wonder, if you see a friend in need, if you hear of missionaries, or if you hear of someone who is sick, would you automatically want to do something for that friend that's in need? And that you would not cease asking and seeking until you had secured what that person needed and give him a little comfort? Because after all, missing one meal at midnight wouldn't be a great thing. But some are so tender-hearted that they would not think of such an inconvenience. They would not think of such inhospitable treatment of a friend of theirs. And the Lord Jesus is one like that. And so I want to be one like that. The Lord Jesus was, he wants you to be. And so if it is possible, if you'll search your own heart, ask, am I a true friend? Or is it something that I have to work on? All right. Keep these things in mind. The Savior is teaching about prayer. And in this parable, you do not have God in it at all. You do not have Christ in it at all. You simply have three men among men that are just men. And yet, from this parable, the Savior goes and then he starts speaking about God and you. After the parable, he says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Now, notice, he's going to change the complexity, the complexion of his teaching entirely. Here is a man who had something and he didn't want to give it to you. But he said, which of you, that is a father, if his son were to come and ask bread, would he give him a stone? To say, no father that loves his son, if he asked for bread, would give him a stone. And he said, or if he came and he asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? You say, no father would do that. Here is someone that comes and his son and the father meet together, and the son says, Father, I'm hungry. I want something to eat. I want bread. I want fish. I want an egg. And each time he says, if you are a father, what would you do? Would you give him a stone? No. If he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? No. If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No. Now, we are talking about ourselves and the Lord Jesus and our Father. Because when we go to the Father, our relationship is not a friend that has to be constrained to give something, but just as your heart as a father, if it's what a true father should be, when a son comes, you say, of course I'll give my son something to eat. And so in like manner, we go into the presence of God and we ask him, and if we ask him for bread, notice, not only will he give it, but not only will he not refuse, but instead of it, he will not give us a stone. How often do we come thinking we ask for bread, but we're asking for stones, and he will not give us a stone. And we're asking, we think for fish, but we're asking for serpents. And we think we're asking for eggs, but we're asking for scorpions. And God will not give those things. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And so I think of that. This man asks for things that are legitimate for a friend. He has every right to expect it. But here are some of us, and we come, and we say, why is my prayer not answered? Because you're asking for stones and for serpents and for scorpions, and God refuses to give them. And then when we come to our senses and we say, I need bread in God's time and in God's way, he gives it. And this is what our Savior is seeking to teach us. And that is why, when he's talking about this man praying, and under the most adverse circumstances, he gets what he sought after, the Savior says, now, under entirely different circumstances, you ask, and you shall receive. You seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And never have it in your mind that God is like someone in bed asleep, and we have to trouble him to make him give us what we want. But understand that God never slumbers, and God never sleeps. And God's name is love, and he shall give good things to his children who ask him. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, forgive us for being what we are. And if perhaps we are like that friend indeed, cultivate that. And let us understand that we are that way because your Spirit is conforming us to the image of your Son. And if we are those who have abundance, even if there is a legitimate call upon us, let us with gladness, our Father, let us with joy, delight to meet the needs not only of our friends, but of others who have friends as well.